Lord, I thank you that your presence is in this place. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to this precious people. Every single person in this room, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to minister deeply today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One night, God came to this man named Abram. And he said, Abram, step outside with me. You see, God wanted to have a chat with this man that he really dearly loved. In fact, Abram, who became Abraham, was called a friend of God. So Abram went outside to have this little chat with the Almighty. Now, I want you to picture it, because in those days, there was no glare of the city lights off O'Connell Street, you know? It was like pitch black. But God says, Abram, look up. He said, look up at the sky. And so Abram looked up and he saw this sky that was absolutely shimmering with the stars, with the Milky Way, with the constellations. And God said to Abram, Abram, so shall your offspring be. Now, I kind of reckon Abram was gobsmacked. Because for one reason, Abram didn't have any children, and his wife, Sarah, was barren. But God loves to choose unlikely vessels to accomplish his purposes. Now, I also believe that every single one of you in this room should also be gobsmacked, because one of those stars, one of those little twinkling celestial lights represented you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have been called by him according to his purposes, one of those little lights was you. And you might say, but who am I that God would ever have a call upon my life or a divine purpose for somebody like me? You might say, you don't know my background. You don't know where I was born. You don't know my parents. You don't know my past. You don't know the baggage of my life. You don't know all about me. And it's true, I don't. And you don't know all about me. But as I said, God loves to choose unlikely vessels to accomplish his purposes. And I sense that God would make one thing very clear to you today, Stars of Liberty Church. God doesn't choose people because they have some special abilities, some talent, some natural thing in their life. God doesn't choose people because they're eloquent speakers and they have a fine, posh accent. God doesn't choose people because of their ancestry. Age is irrelevant. God doesn't need those things. In fact, sometimes they can be a hindrance to him. The Bible tells us this. God takes up the foolish, weak, and despised things, and he uses them to confound the wise. That's 1 Corinthians 1:27. The foolish things, the weak things, and the despised things. And I've often wondered why God works that way. And you know what? I think one of the reasons is that no flesh will glory in his presence. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now think about it. Check it out in your Bible. Who does God use? He called a poor, unknown teenager, but a young girl who was willing to suffer slander, possible rejection of her fiancé because of this mysterious ministry, Mary, to be the mother of Jesus. And he called a seemingly insignificant little woman out of whom he had cast seven demons to be the first person to see him after he rose from the dead. And you know what? He even chooses people who he knows are going to make a mess. He chose a cocky, foot-in-mouth fisherman who cowered before a servant girl and denied Jesus three times. Peter became the spokesperson for the entire early church. Vessels in jars of clay. Ordinary people like you and me. Maybe I should say ordinary in the eyes of the world, but heaven's stars. And somehow, I really feel that the Lord would emphasize to you in your heart of hearts, you need to know who you are. You need to know in your knower that you are called and loved and adored by God. The Word tells us that before the creation of the world, you were accepted in the Beloved. I love the way the Message version goes in Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. It says this is so beautiful. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy by his love, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. What an amazing thing. When he knit you together in your mother's womb, he had such joy in his heart. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. You are his masterpiece. You are one of a kind. There is nobody else in all the world that is quite like you. And when he formed you in the secret place, he rejoiced over you with singing. Listen, you are not a mistake. No matter what the circumstances of your birth, you are not a mistake. You are one of heaven's stars. And God set out throughout your entire life to win your heart. You might think, oh, well, I had this hunger. Who put the hunger in your heart in the first place? It was God. It was the Father. He was drawing you. He was wooing you. It was God who opened your eyes so that you could see the cross and understand that the death of Jesus, that painful, horrific, bloody death, was for you. That he took your sins, he took your shame, he took the filth of all your life upon himself as if it was his own, so that you could be his. So that you could be right with God. so that you could be the object of his affection. Amen. You are called and loved by God. And listen, you have got a destiny to fulfill. And God knew that one day you would come to him and you would choose him. One day you would answer his call. And in so doing, you would find your highest purpose for existence on this earth. You would discover and embrace the incredibly great destiny that he has for you. It's an awesome thing to be one of heaven's stars. It is such a privilege to have God set his heart upon you, his love upon you. What a privilege. But also, what a responsibility. Amen. The Bible says this: many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I used to question, what does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. And I once heard a very interesting paraphrase of that verse that I think is quite good. It goes like this: many are called, but few choose. Chosenness means simply saying yes, but saying yes on God's terms, on God's conditions. I love the way Mary said yes. Listen to this. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." It's simple. Surrender. That to me is perfect and sweet surrender. You see, that scripture in Ephesians says this too. You are called to be made whole and holy by his love. To be made whole and holy. You see, once you are called and chosen of God, he removes you from the dominion of darkness and brings you into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. And at that time, he starts a process. He starts a work. And you begin to be separated from sin and separated unto God. In a sense, that's what it means to be holy, set apart from sin. You are no longer ordinary. You're no longer common. You're no longer profane. But you are set apart unto God for his purposes. Holiness does not mean that you wear a color, long dark robes, and you mumble prayers under your breath. Holiness does not mean that you live a grim life of strict, joyless rules. It's not that at all. That's religion. Come on, let's be finished with that. Holiness means that you're set apart to God. It means that you're called to be different. You're called to shine for God. You're the one at work who doesn't swear anymore. You're the one at work who doesn't cheat on the time clock. You're the one that goes the extra mile, even for people who don't deserve it. You're the one who says no thanks to a bribe. You're called to be extraordinary. You're called to be different. And being holy means that you now dwell at the source of all true pleasure, of all true joy, of all true peace. I don't know about you, but when I was in the world, I sought pleasure in every kind of place. It always had its consequences, and it never brought pleasure. But to be a holy child of God, you dwell at the true source of pleasure and joy. And in Philippians 2, it says you are called to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. You are chosen to shine in this dark world. You're called to live a life of letting your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and be drawn like a magnet to your God. You're called, and this is your purpose. This is your destiny. Now, when I talk about being a star, I'm not talking about some kind of Hollywood glitz and glam. You know, something like where everybody's chasing after you for your autograph, your photograph, pats on the back, your name in lights, on billboards. Although one time I did see Noel Kenny's face on a bus. But I'm not talking about that at all. You know, as we said in the leadership course, God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. It's quite the opposite of the things of this world. You can't rule unless you're willing to serve. You can't receive unless you're willing to give. And you can't really live unless you're willing to die to self. Amen? Several times in my life, I lived in some very unusual places. And a few times I lived in countries that used to be behind the Iron Curtain, places where communism had its iron grip on people. And in those countries, people really paid the price for living for Jesus Christ. Some of them even gave their lives. And people in those days, in that difficult place, really came to know Jesus in an extraordinary way. And I read about an interview of a man who lived in Eastern Europe who survived as a Christian during those times. And he did an interview with a man concerning what happened when that wall came down and lots of Christians came into his country to bring the gospel. And this is what he said. I just want to read it. With tears running down his face, he said, "Many people come to my country and want to make a big fire for God. I do not want to make a big fire for God. I want to be consumed by God's fire until I'm ashes. When I am ashes, then I will see the glory of God." And the man who did the interview commented, "I wanted to say that I understood, but I know that the man understood the holiness of God in a way that I did not. He experienced a depth in his prayer life that I desired. My encounter with this godly man opened my eyes to the tremendous truth. Holiness of heart and power in prayer are inseparable. A life that prays is a life that is wholly yielded to the will of God. It is a life that recognizes the majesty of God and has submitted to his kingship. It is a life that has power and authority." Now, finally, I just want to say to you, I do believe that every single person in this room has a call that only you can fulfill, only you, a divine destiny. But I would also like to say, I believe that there is a call not only upon you as individuals, but upon you as a people, as upon you as a body, and as a church, as the bride of Christ in this city. And maybe this high calling is expressed in this scripture, which I feel God gave me in the middle of the night for you. Daniel 12, verse 3. And it says this: those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Liberty Church, I sense that there is an incredibly great call upon you as a people. You are called to usher in the glory of God into this city. You are called to hold out the word of life to dead people who need the life of a Savior. You are called to shine with the brightness of heaven and lead many to salvation. And I believe, Liberty Church, that you have an incredibly important destiny. Could it be that you are called to usher in the glory of God into this city? And in that way, to pave the way for a revival. Not only in Dublin, not only in Ireland, upon this whole island, that will have repercussions and impact, not only here, but in the nations of the world. You are called to shine for Jesus. You are called to live without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. You are called to arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And surely darkness and thick darkness covers Dublin today. But he's calling you to take up your destiny and your call to be heaven's stars.